Begin the current daf, Masechet Shabbos, daf Tzadi Daf. We begin 5 lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. The Mishnah said, as a chai b'mita, if someone transports a live person in a bed from one domain, from one rishus to another rishus on Shabbos, then potter af l'mita, then not only will it be potter on the live person, as we explained in the Mishnah, as the Gemara is going to explain, because a chai noises asma, a live person carries himself, and therefore you're not really carrying him, he supports his own weight, he carries his own weight, so to speak. So therefore, you're also going to be potter on the bed, as we explained in the previous daf, because since it's a tuffel, it's a secondary to the item that you're carrying out. The main intent was to carry out the person, and the person you potter on because he carries himself, so the bed you're also going to be potter on. So the Gemara says, Alema masnit reb nasan hibl rabun. We should say that our Mishnah that says that you're potter, you're exempt on the live person, and therefore the same thing would apply to the bed, which is secondary to the live person, and that's going according to reb nasan and not according to the opinion of the rabun. To tell like we learned in the Brisa as follows. He said, someone transports, carries out an animal, or a wild animal, or a bird to Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaYachin, then Bein Chai and Bein Shchutin Chai, the Tanakam holds, Rabban say, that whether the animals are alive or dead, either way you're going to be liable for it, Haitzah. Rab Nosson Aymer, Ala Shchutin Chai, Val Chayim Pata. However, Rab Nosson said that on the ones that are slaughtered, they're already dead, for that you're Chai for the Haitzah, because that you're actually carrying, whereas the live animals, there you're going to be Pater, as he says, Shechai Nosis Hasmai, because the live supports itself, and that's exactly like our Mishnah said, that you're Pater on taking out a live person. So here also, that's like Rab Nosson, who said that you're Pater, even that you're Pater on carrying out the live animal, but that's not like Rabban, who said you're going to be liable whether the animal is dead or alive. And that the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav, Afilotim Rabban, you could even say that our Mishnah is like the opinion of Rabban. And there, that he said that you're going to be Chayiv, even if the animal is alive, is because Adkam Lei Plig Rabban Aled Reb Nosson El Behem Chayiv Oif. Because they only argue on the case of an animal, a wild animal, a bird, that they're, even if they're alive, you're going to be chayv. And the reason is, the mishavati nafshayu, because the animal or the bird stiffens itself. And they try pushing downward to make them heavy, that they want to try to slip out from the one that's carrying them. And therefore, they're not carrying their weight, because there they're trying to actually be even heavier and to push themselves down. They don't want you to pick them up. But a live person, where the person does carry its own weight, they're not like an animal that suddenly makes himself like dead weight trying to get out. There, even the Rabban would agree, as the halacha of our Mishnah, that you're going to be potter on the live person for carrying him out, and therefore huadin would apply to the bed, which is secondary to the live person. But the Gemara asks on this, only Rav Adibar Havala Rava, but we learn the Mishnah as follows. Bemeseir said that it's permitted regarding a horse, and that is, this halacha, that there's certain large animals that are forbidden to sell to a goy. And however, Ben Beseir said, you're allowed to sell a horse to a goy. And that is because the malacha of regarding a horse is, even if a person would do a malacha with the horse on Shabbos, it would never be a chiyuv chatas, because the horses are meant, they're designated generally to be riding on it. And that's mutter, because even if the horse is going to be carrying the person that's riding it on Shabbos, then we have the halacha of chai neses atzmoi, the live person carries himself, like Reb Nosson had said, that even if the person would ride, if the guy that you're selling the animal to would ride it, there's no concern, because this issur that we just mentioned before, that you're not allowed to sell what's called a behema gasa to a guy, a large animal, was because the Chazal Institute, they were concerned if we allow you to sell these animals to goyim, you might come to lend it or to rent them to goyim, which that could create a problem. Because what happens is, if the person will do a malacha with that animal on Shabbos, you're over on your isser of shvisa behemter. That is, the Torah says that your animal is not allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos. So if we let you sell the animal to the guy, you might come to rent it or lend it to the guy. And if you rent it to him, and on Shabbos he's using it to perform work, your animal is doing a malacha, and that's a problem. So therefore the Rabban made a gzera that you're not allowed to sell it because you might come to rent it. And if you rent it, then you're going to be on the Issa Derais of Shvizah Behemter. However, regarding a horse, either way there's no problem, because even if you're going to lend or rent your horse, there's still not a concern of the Issa Derais of Shvizah Behemter, because it says in the pasuk over there regarding that your animal shouldn't do any malacha. And if the horses, they don't use it to schlep, to do harisha, plowing, they only use it for people to ride on it. And even if the guy is going to ride on your animal because you rented him and you lent it to him, it's still not going to be a problem. Your animal's not doing any malacha, because the chai, the guy that's riding in it, is nice as he's carrying himself, and the animal's not considered like he's carrying the guy. And the Gemara says, V'tanya, we learned in this Mishnah, Bryce that elaborated and said, Ben Meseir Matabesos. Why did Ben Meseir say that it's permitted to sell a horse, even though you might come to rent a horse. Because even if you ultimately will end up renting or lending a horse, the malacha that the guy is going to be doing with it, which is riding on it, will not create a situation of an issa deraisa that will come to bring a chayiv chatas. As we said, because that's the concept of chayin neses atzmoy. And on this, Rabbi Yechon came to explain this. Why is that there won't be a malacha of chatas being done with it? Either guy is going to be riding on it and it's carrying something in Rosh Hashanah. Because Ben Beseir, Reb Nosson, Amr Dover Echad, that is because Ben Beseir, who said this halacha, that you're allowed to sell the horse, and Reb Nosson, they say the same idea, which is the heter of the riding of the guy on the animal on Shabbos, because again, he carries himself, that's a chayin neses atzmoy. And now the Gemara develops the proof, which was asking on this teretz that Rav had given. And if you're going to say, like you wanted to say before, that no, the Amishter could even go on the Grabbonin. And this that they argue and say that you're chayiv for carrying, transporting, even if the animal is alive, that's only by animals or birds, because there they weigh themselves down, they push themselves down. But by a human being, they would agree that he carries himself, and therefore you're not chayiv for transporting him on Shabbos. So then the question is, why did Rabbi Yechonin say that Rabbi Seir and Rabbi Nosson are saying the same halacha? But you said that even Rabbanu agree that the person carries himself. So therefore, this that you're allowed to sell the horse on Shabbos, that Rabbi Seir is saying you're allowed to sell it, because even if he might come to rent it, and he might ride in it on Shabbos, not a problem, because he carries himself, that even you're telling me the Rabbanu agreed to. So why did Rabbi Yechonin say only Rabbi Nosson? And that he answers, Kiyam Reb Yechonin, when did Reb Yechonin say that it's Dafka Reb Nosson that's like Ben Beseir? That's Besus HaMiyuchad La'ifis. That's because we were talking about a horse that's designated for birds. And on that, the Rabbanu would say that the horse is carrying the bird, because even if the bird is alive, it weighs itself down, and therefore for that we have to say that's only like Reb Nosson. And that the Gemara asks, Amika Sus HaMiyuchad La'ifis, is there such a thing? That's how you're answering why we have to say that it was only Reb Nosson like Ben Beseir, because we're talking about a horse that has the birds that are riding on it. Is there such a thing that there's a horse designated for birds? When do birds ride on horses? And that thing says, in yes, there is such a case. There are the horses of the bird hunters. That there they have, they put on top of the horse different types of birds, like for example a sparrow. And they would be there that to be able to trap the different birds. And because of that type of horse, then we would say that you, according to Rabbanan, you wouldn't be able to sell it because you might come to rent it. And if you rent it, then the bird's going to be on it and it'll be carrying the bird. That's why I have to say that halacha, this permit of Ben Beseir was like Reb Nosson and not like Rabbanan. But regarding a person, the Rabbanan would also agree that that's permitted because Achai Nois HaSatzmai regarding a person. Now the Gemara develops this Hagdor in this halacha of Achai Nois HaSatzmai. Amar B'yechadon, Umayid Reb Nosson Mekafis. Although we said Reb Nosson says, even regarding animals, that when that carrying the live animal is not going to be considered carrying because it carries itself, it has an neshama, it assists in carrying itself. However, he agrees when it's tied that then it's going to be us, or whether a bird or whether a person, because now he can't carry himself. He's tied down and he doesn't have that spirit, so to speak, that lifts him up. On this, the Gemara asks, Omli Ravad bar Masan Labaya, but Vahani Parsoi. The command, the Kafisi Dhamma, we have these Persians, that they're almost like they're tied. When they ride with these large garments, these clothing that are very wide around them. And it's almost that they're immobile when they're riding. They're all dressed up and they can't move. And also they were very, people that were called Mu'nagim, they were so delicate that they wouldn't step on the ground. And they were people that they only were able to ride on the horse, they couldn't even walk. And still, Rabbi Yechonin said that this permit of Ben Beseir and Reb Nosson is the same halacha. However, you said that Reb Nosson agrees that when they're tied, that would be a problem. And if by when they're tied, Reb Nosson agrees, how could you say he's the same halacha like Ben Beseir and Reb Nosson are the same? Because a live person carries himself, but Ben Beseir said that you're allowed to sell horses to anybody. And that would include even to the Persians, because he said you're allowed to sell Tanachri, which includes all the different nations, including the Persians. However, if that's the case, the Persians are like they're tied. And that Ben Beseir obviously hold that even when you're tied, right? Again, the Persians, they're going, they might come to ride on Shabbos. And they're immobile. They have these garments that they can't move around and they don't walk even. They're totally immobile. And still we say that they would be able to ride on Shabbos. Obviously, the Ben Beseir holds that even when they're tied, they're carrying themselves. And yet here you say, the Reb Nosson says when you're tied that you can't carry yourself. And if that's the case, how can we say Ben Beseir and Reb Nosson are saying the same halacha? So he answered, Hossam, over there by the Persians, Ramot Rucha Hu Denokelahu. It's just that they choose a path of arrogance. This that they don't walk on their feet, it's just gaiva that they have. But of course they could, they're not like tied, literally. And as he shows the Hahu Parshdashka, the Rasach Malki Levoy, there was a story that there was an officer that the king was upset at him. Virot Losa Parsi Bekar, and he ran 3 Parsi, which is a very large distance, on foot. So although they don't go on foot, it's not because they're not possible, they're totally immobile. It's because they don't prefer it. It's arrogance that they have. But of course, they're still able to move, and therefore, in that type of case, they would not be considered kafas, like they're tied down. And that's why it's chayin ha'isas atzmoi. But Ben Masei would agree to Reb Nosson to this concept that if they're tied, then it would be a problem of itzah, because then you don't have the concept of chayin ha'isas atzmoi. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. Then that was if the live person is carried in the bed. However, SMS b'mita, if a corpse, a dead person is carried in the bed, then chayiv, then you're liable for carrying out the dead person, because now he doesn't carry himself, and you're carrying out the dead body. Same thing applies for even a kazayis of a dead person, etc., regarding other things. However, the Mishnah ended off, the Reb Shimon played, the Reb Shimon says that you're exempt on all these cases of the dead person, the kazayis from the mess, there you're potter. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar B'yechna, Amar B'yosef, Amar B'shimon B'lakish, and also Reb Yosef said in the name of B'shimon B'lakish, that Paita Hayyar B'shimon, Reb Shimon said that you're exempt in these type of cases, we continue on to Amid Beis, Af B'moitzi SMS L'kavri. Even if you were taking out the dead person to bury him outside, let's say he was dead in the Rosh Hashanah in the home, and you took him out to bury him in the cemetery, even in that case, will be included in the reason why Reb Shimon holds that Yapata, which is the concept of Mlocha She'in the Tzrich L'Gufa, that's not necessary for it. In other words, the reason why Reb Shimon says all these cases Yapata, although you're transporting, he's not carrying himself, is because you don't need, for the constructive purpose of taking out the body, you just don't want it here, you want it there. That's not considered. Rather, he would not have been in the first place. You don't want to do something productive with it. And therefore, that's called Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. On that, Reb Shimon holds that you're potter. But the Chiddush that he's saying is that you shouldn't say that it's only what, if you just want to take it out and you don't want it here, that then you're going to be exempt. That then you don't, there's two aspects. That's by every Haitzah, by every transfer, there's what's called the gavran, there's a chafetz, there's the person that's doing it, and there's the object that it's being done with. That you would say, possibly, that when would it have to be melacha shein tzrich l'gufa, that the one who's doing it doesn't need it, and the object that's being done with it also doesn't need it. That's just being put out, it's not helping either one. However, the chiddush that Reb Shimon, that the Gemara is saying now in Reb Shimon, that even if it is tzarech for the mess, in other words, for the object, it is melacha that's tzarech, that's necessary because the object is being fulfilled its purpose by being buried. However, since the one that's doing it has no need for it, it's just the object, still we say that would be included in the Petur of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, because since he doesn't need it, we don't care that the object needs it in the burial, and therefore you're going to be potter. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Umayd Reb Shimon B'mar Lach B'boy. But however, Reb Shimon agrees that when you take a hoe to dig with it, that's necessary for the one that's taking it out, that's transporting it. And similarly, the Sefer Torah liquors boy, that if you're taking out a Sefer Torah to read for it where you're taking it to, that then the chayv, then you're going to be liable, because then that's not a melacha shein tzrich l'gufa, that's taking it out for the purpose of using it over there for what you need it for. Another Gemara says, pshita, obvious. Because if even that case would be considered a melacha that's not necessary for the project, for the constructive purpose of taking it out for where you need it, then where would I ever have a case of a melacha that is necessary for the productive purpose of the melacha itself? Where would you ever find it? How could you have anything more than why am I taking it out to be able to read the Sefer Torah over there? Obviously, that's a melacha that's necessary for the constructive purpose of why I'm doing this melacha, in this case, the melacha of itself. And that Gemara says, I would have thought that for Reb Shimon, for it to be considered not malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, that it is a constructive malacha, that you need it both for the one who's doing it, that's the gav of the person, and l'gufa for the chefza, for the object itself. Kugoyin, I would think you need to have a case of mar lasses leitas v'lachper. And the reason why I'm taking it out from this domain to that domain is because I'm taking out the hoe that I can make a new plate for it. That is, if, for example, if let's say it got ruined the edges and I have to put a new plate to be able to dig with it, and to dig, so there I'm taking it out both for me, that I could dig with it, and for the object, that I could fix it, and similarly, Sefer Torah lahagiv alikris, but I would think that you need to have a case of a Sefer Torah that, A, I need to go take it to correct it, that's for the object, and to reach for it, which is for me, and that, only then, when you have both components, then it would be a melacha tzrich l'gufa. And the Gemara says, Kamashman, that's what we wanted to tell you, that no, all you need is for the one who's doing it. If it's constructive and it's accomplishing for me, although for the object it stays the same object, I'm not fixing the hoe, I'm not fixing the Sefer Torah, and similarly regarding the mess, I'm not accomplishing anything for me, but if I'm doing it productive for me, that would be enough to be considered a melacha hatzricha legufa, And that's why I have to say, Rabbi Shimon agrees that when you're taking out the hoe to dig with it, even though you're not fixing the hoe, it's still going to be considered a malacha tzrich legufa, and Rabbi Shimon would agree that you're chayv in that case. So the Gemara continues on this topic. There was this corpse that was in Dreikras. Shavir of Nachem Bayitzchuk lafuk lekarmelis. Nachem Yitzchuk permitted the people to take out the dead body from the Shosayachad to a karmelis, either because it was lying in disgrace, or because there was a fire, or because it was in the sun. All these different circumstances, because of the disgrace of the person, they permitted them to carry it into a karmelis. And if you're concerned about the problem of muktza, so Rashi tells us that you could either put on a loaf of bread or a child, which is a heter regarding the we permitted for muktza, that now it's like a bus, it's like a support for the loaf. And since the loaf you permitted to move, you let it move the vessel, so to speak, which is the dead person, to carry that out. On that, the Gemara says, the Omali Rabbi Yochanan achu demar b'rid ravon milu Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok. Rabbi Yochanan told him, come on, according to who did you permit carrying out the corpse from the Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis on Shabbos? Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon, because he holds that it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa, it's not for a constructive, productive purpose. But Eimid apart Rabbi Shimon mechiyev chatas. When did Rabbi Shimon say that you're exempt because it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa? That's only for mechiyev chatas from the Issa Deraisa. But Esud Rabban Miyik, but he would agree also that although it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa, that it's not the Issa Deraisa, but he would definitely agree that it's at least Asim Rabban. And so how could you, how are you able to permit this even like a tchila to do? So Amalei, so he responded to him, Hoyle Kim, by God, the eyeless Be'at, even you would go ahead and bring it out to the Karmelis. Vafalu Rabbi Yehuda, and even that's even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says malacha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv. Why? Why would this case be mutter? Do you think I let them take the dead body, the corpse from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is Aitzah Deraisa? The Karmelis Kamina. I was talking about that, permit them to take it to a Karmelis, which is only another domain, Midirabbanan. And I tell you, that's not considered a domain of Isser. And the reason why I permitted to do this Isser Derabbanan of taking out the dead body to the Karmelis was because God will cover Abriyas, Shadoiches Lezah Shabbatar, because how great is the honor of a person that it pushes away a negative prohibition in the Torah. And specifically, the law of Lisasser, which is the law of the prohibition that teaches us that we have to keep the words of the Rabbanan. And we know this concept that says that because of Kavod HaBriyos, for the dignity of the person, in this case the corpse, which was laying either in disgrace or in the sun, in a disgracing situation, we allow them, and that's why I permitted them to take it from the Shasiyacha to the Karmelis, or from a different domain than the Karmelis, which is only Yisrael Rabbanan, that you're allowed to be Yisrael Rabbanan in the case of Kavod HaBriyos. But nothing to do with it because of Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. Even according to Yehuda, that's a Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa would be Aser, it would still be Mutter in this case to be over this Rabbanan for Kavod HaBriyos with the dignity of the dead person. So now the Gemara continues on the topic of our Mishnah regarding a Kezias of mess that we said that the Shear is transporting a size of a Kezias. And that reason is because that's the amount of Tumah that now you're taking away this amount of Tumah from you. Therefore, we consider a size of a Kezias significant and Chashub. And therefore, since Kezias is what conveys Tumah and less than that not, so Kezias is the amount that you'll be liable for transporting from one domain to another domain on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah. Hatoilish Simoni Tumah. If someone plucks out the Simonim, the signs of Tumah, for example, the two white hairs that's in a Baharis, which is a type of Tsaras, that says that it only becomes Tumah when there's two white hairs inside of it. Or v'hichva ha-michya, or he burns the raw flesh. And this is, michya is a type of raw flesh, it's a sign of tumah in the tzaras of se'es, and this one's burning it to negate the michya, and to say that now it will be tahar, because you have this tzaras, and inside has this raw flesh, only if it's raw flesh will it become tumah. Now when he burns it, it's not raw anymore, it's going to be burnt, then it's going to not be tumah anymore. So these two cases, what he's doing is he's undoing the simani tumat. Now it won't be tumah anymore, it'll be tar. Over will also say he's over on the negative prohibition, which says in the pasuk in the Devarim Chav Dalet, he shama benega tzaras, that you should be careful about the nega of the tzaras. And that is that there's a lashon of shmir that you should not mess with it, so to speak. If it's tzaras, don't try to undo it and pluck out the white hairs or burn the flesh, which will say, oh, look at it, now it's tar. You have to keep it as it is. Hashem is sending you a message and you have to act accordingly. So Idma, we learned on this, achas mishtayim. If someone picks out one of the two hairs, that there were only two hairs and they picked out one, then he's liable, because again, he took away the tumah, because it's only mitame when there's two, and now that there's less than two, it's not going to be tame, so therefore he's over on this iser of hisham benega hatzeras. However, achas mishalish, let's say there were three white hairs, and all you need is two, and they plucked out one of the three. So in this we have machlokes in the Gemara. Rav Nachman amachayiv, Rav Sheshesh amapot, and the Gemara explains. Rav Nachman amachayiv, he says that you're liable, Ahani Maisav, because what you did accomplished the undoing in some sense for the tum of tzaras, and therefore you're going to be liable because the imishtak l'chodachrita as l'tumah, because if ultimately another one will fall out or be plucked out in a different way, then now because of what you did, the tum will go away. So therefore you're an accomplice to that. Therefore you're liable for the iser of yishama benega tzaras. Rav Sheshes says no, you're exempt. Hashdemi aso is l'tumah. Right now, after you plucked it out, there's still the tumah there because you left with two white hairs from the three, and therefore you're potter. You didn't do anything significant. So I'm Rav Sheshes, but not Minalur. Rav Sheshes says, where do I get this concept that you're going to be potter because although ultimately it might assist, but right now you didn't do anything, therefore you're potter? Did not because learned in our Mishnah. So the chin kazayis minam mesr. He says similarly, if someone transports a kazayis of a dead person, or because kazayis minam ve'lachayiv, or he transports a kazayis from a dead animal, then he's going to be liable for transporting. So the inference is hachatzi zayis potter. But if it's a half a zayis, then you're going to be potter. It's only a significant amount when it's a kazayis. On that, the question is, but Tanya learned the braisa chatzi zayis chayiv, that if you transport even a half of a zayis of a dead person, that you're going to be liable. So how can we resolve that contradiction? My love, isn't it obvious that you have to say as follows? The brice that says that you're liable for even taking out a half a zayis, that's when you took out a half a zayis from a kazayis. That is, there was a kazayis, which was the shear of tumah, which makes it significant. Now you took off half. So now you took away the shear of tumah. There's no more shear of tumah anymore. So therefore, if you had a kazayis of tumah in Rosh Hashanah, which conveys tumah, it's something that you want to get it out of over here. So therefore, when you take away half of it and you took it out, so now you undid it. It can't be metam anymore because only half a kazayis. And that, you're liable. For other number this that we learned in our Mishnah, that the inference was that potter, that your potter, if you take out a half a kazayis and you're only liable for kazayis, is the apikhatzi zayis mikazayis umechza. That's when you took out a half a zayis when there was a zayis and a half. And then, although that you diminished the shear of the zayis and a half, it's nothing because you didn't do anything because you still left with the shear of a kazayis. And therefore, that's a right to what I was saying. That when you have three hairs and you pluck out one, that although you did something, but since you left with two, you're going to be potter because you didn't do anything significant. That's why our Mishnah says to resolve the contradiction that you're potter for taking a half a zayis, because you still left with a kazayis. Although there was a kazayis and a half and you took out half, since you left with a kazayis, that's why you're potter when you took out a half a zayis. On that, Rav Nachman would respond to that, no. Idvi idi chayiv, really, both by the case when you took out a half a zayis from a kazayis, when you actually took apart the tumah, or even when there's a kazayis and a half and you took a half a zayis, and there's still a kazayis left, you would be liable. Like his opinion that when there's three hairs and you take out one, that you're liable. V'hadit nam pot, and this is we learned in our Mishnah that you're pot, you're exempt if you took out a half a zayis, is the apikhatzi zayis mezkod. That's what I'm in a case when you took out a half a zayis of a piece of flesh from a large corpse, where there you really accomplished nothing. If there's a zayis and a half, if there's three hairs, you take out a one hair, you're still assisting because if one more falls out, then you did something. And similarly, if there's a zayis and a half, a small amount you took out, even though it's still left, the share of a zayis, but you're getting it closer. When you take it from a large corpse, there, I would even agree, Rav Nachman says, and that's the understanding of our Mishnah, that there you're going to be potter when you take out a half a zayis. But if it was a half a zayis from a zayis and a half, then I would say that no, then you would be liable, similar to the case of the three hairs and you take out one, that I say you'll be liable. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, talking about toldos of Av Malachas. Specifically, hanoitel tzipparn, if someone cuts off his fingernails, zubizu, one fingernail with the other that you're taking and cutting it off, as many people do, oy bishinov, or with his teeth, that's how he's biting it off, v'chin tzar, and same thing applies to his hair. If let's say he pulls out his hair from his head with his hands, v'chin tzfamoy, and also for his mustache, v'chin tzikonay, and his beard, that he pulls it out by hand, not with a trimmer, not with a shaver, and similarly, a woman that braids her hair, and a woman that paints her eyes, a type of makeup, and also a woman that fixes her hair. According to one pshat in Rashi, that's with a comb or with her hands, or Rashi says that the women would go ahead and put dough on their face, and when they would take it away, it would make them a red complexion. All these things, if a person does in Shabbos, Rebbe Lezer holds that the person is going to be chayiv on all these cases of chatas. However, the Chum say that you're only liable for Isra Rabban of Shabbos, because this is not the way how to do all these things. You don't normally cut your fingernails with your other fingernails. You use a nail clip or a scissor. Same thing for cutting your hair. You don't usually do it by hand. So therefore, it's at most Isra Rabban. And the Gemara is going to explain the reason of Rebbe Lezer. Why does he hold that you're chayiv a chatas if this is not the derech how it's normally done? So the Gemara explains the first item that was discussed in our Mishnah regarding taking off the fingernails with another fingernail that regarding this machlekes is b'chayv achatos, or it's only a rabban. It's Amr Rabbi Elazar. Machlekes b'yad. The whole machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim was only if you took off one fingernail with the other finger, with meaning by hand, and not with a nail clip, but not with a kli. On that, we said the rabban say that you're potter, because that's not how you usually cut it during the weekday. But if you actually took off the fingernails with a nail clip or with a scissor, with a vessel, then you're going to be liable. And that the Gemara asks, of course, pshita, zubizutznana. Our Mishnah says, taking off one fingernail with another fingernail, that's what we were discussing. But if you took it with an actual vessel, with a kli, then of course you'd be chayv according to everyone. And that the Gemara says, no. We have to tell you this, because ma'ad tam rabban b'kli nami pacha. I would have thought the rabban say that you're exempt even if you take it with a nail clip, with a kli. And that's because that's not included in the issa deraisa of goizes, of shearing. Because that's only by the wool of an animal. But regarding a person's finger, though it's attached, that's not considered the malacha deraisa of giza. And this that we said in our Mishnah, taking off one fingernail with another fingernail, we didn't say with a vessel, that was lohi diyacha koich Rebbe Elazar. That was only coming to tell you the chiddush, according to Rebbe Elazar, that even then you'd be chayv achatas. Even if you don't do it the way it's normally done with a nail clip and you do it with your fingers. That was what we're coming to tell you the chiddush, but really the rabbanon argue, even when you do it with a kli itself, that you're going to be potter midai raisa. Kamash mulan, and that's what we wanted to tell you, that it's only regarding by the fingers that rabbanon hold that you're potter, but regarding when you do it with a nail clip, but then you're going to be chayv the issa deraisa of goizes. Another qualification of this machlekes, the Gemara says, "V'amir b'laza machlekes la'atzma." The whole machlekes is only if the person does it by himself for himself. And that is, in that case, Rabbi Elazar holds that you're chayiv because he could figure out a way how to do it with his fingers very well to do it even though he's not doing a nail clip. You know, you got it down to an art, how to peel it off, and it comes up perfect, almost as if you would have done it with a kli. But if you're doing it for someone else, there everyone would agree that you're going to be pater midai raisa, because you can't do it so well on someone else's finger the way you could do it if you're not using a nail clipper or a scissor. Now the Gemara asks, Pshita, Tziparnav Tanan. Our Mishnah says that when he cuts his own fingernails. That sounds like Tziparnav of his own fingernails. Why are you saying that it's only by him and not by others? Of course, that's the wording of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says similarly, as we said before, Ma'ad Tam Rebbe Elazar L'Chaveri Na'am Mechayev. I would have thought that no, Rebbe Elazar holds that you're liable for Chiv Chatas, even if you're doing it with your fingers, for someone else's fingers. V'hadik Tani Tziparnav. This that we said that it was by his own fingernails. Tell you the chiddush of the Rabbanon, that even when it's his own fingernails where you could do it pretty well, still in that case Rabbanon hold that you're pater and you're not liable midaraisa. But Rabbi Elazar would hold that you're chayiv even by someone else's. Kamash man, that's why I have to tell you this. Hagdara also to qualify to say that no, even Rabbi Elazar that holds you chayiv achat is only by your own fingernails, but by someone else's fingernails, you are not going to be chayiv midaraisa because you can't do it as well as you do it with a kli. So the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. I said, V'chin Sarah, and the same thing applies to one's here, that if you do it by hand, you're going to have the same achlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham. So the Gemara explains this issur of pulling out here on Shabbos, whether it's only with scissors or it's even by hand, according to Rabbi Elazar. Tana, we learned, Hanoita Maloi Pi Hazug Chayv. If someone cuts off a scissor tip full of here, that he's liable on Shabbos. And that is a kontra abundant, that's only with a kli, with scissors, a kontra blood, even with a hand. But that's the shear of cutting off here, what's the shear to be chayv on Shabbos? That's a scissor tip full. And the Gemara says, how much is a scissor tip full of here? On Rabbi Hudishtaim, that's two hears. But the Gemara asks, but time we learn the Braisa, in that same Braisa, at the end of the Braisa, it says, ulakarchashtaim, that regarding the issur of tearing out here, that's two hears. That is, there's an issur of what's called in the pasuk, l'sasimu karchu, you should not make a bald spot. That is, you're not allowed to pull out here that the Torah warned you if for over a dead person as a sign of mourning. And that, the Braisa says, that two hairs is considered karcha. Obviously, when the Braisa originally said that for the hair on Shabbos, that's the isra of pizug, that's obviously not the same amount as two hairs, because then it would have used the same terminology. Here, regarding taking out the hair, it says a scissor tip full, and then it says regarding karcha, it says two hairs. Obviously, two hairs is not scissor tip full. So how are we saying that scissor tip full is two hairs? I think my answer is ema v'chein l'karchashtan, that you should say the word and also regarding the isav karch, it was two hairs, that it is the same shear. As the Gemara says, Tanya Mahoch is similar in the Brice, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the shear of a scissor tip full to be chayiv on the isra of cutting off here on Shabbos is two hairs, and that's the same as karchem. That we learned in the Brice, Hanoitim Aloy Piazug b'Shabbos chayiv. Someone takes a scissor tip full of here on Shabbos is chayiv, and the Brice says explicitly, B'kamam Aloy Piazug, how much is a scissor tip full of here? That's time, that's two hairs. However, Rabbi Elazar says that it's only one here that he argues, and he says that you don't need a scissor tip full. But a scissor tip full is two hairs, as we explained before in the name of Yehuda. However, the Gemara says, "Umlidim chacham l'Rabbi Elazar," that the Brisa says that the chacham agreed to Rabbi Elazar that you're going to be liable even for cutting off one hair on Shabbos if b'melaked levanis metech shcharis, if you plucked out a white hair from black hairs. That there, shafila achas chayv, that there, even if you take out one hair, you're going to be chayv, because that one hair is significant, that you are makbid on that hair, that you shouldn't seem like an old person. And that is, although generally two hairs are necessary to be considered significant, in this case, it's unique, that it's considered chashav by its merit, by the contrast of it's being the one white hair amongst the black hair, then that makes you look like old. Uh-oh, I'm getting white hairs. You pluck it out. Even one hair, the chum agree that you're going to be chayv, because now it is considered chashav, even though it's one. However, the Braisa adds on even more. And not only that, this is usher on Shabbos to pick out the one white hair from the black hair, but even during the weekday it's usher. You're never allowed to do this. Mishum Shenem, because it says the pasuk in Devarim, Le'yilbash gever simlas isha. There's also what's called Le'silbash, that a man is not allowed to wear the garment of the woman. But that's not only garments, that includes the derech, the feminine way that women do it. And since women are makbid about that, they want to beautify themselves, they don't want to be seen with white hair, that they're going to pluck their eyebrows or do different things. For a man to do those things is considered loyilbash, and therefore for a man to pluck out one white hair from the many black hairs is usher even during the weekday, not only on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of tziporin, as we spoke about in our Mishnah, about cutting off a fingernail. So Tanya learned the Braiser, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tziporin Shapirish Ruba, regarding a fingernail, that the majority was already detached. This happens many times, it's annoying, and fingernails, the majority is already off, but it's still connected a little bit. Similarly, Betzitzin, regarding the cuticles, and that's this a small strip of skin that surrounds the fingernail that comes out from the skin surrounding the fingernail. Shapirish Ruba, that most of the cuticle already came off, it's almost coming off. So then, on Shabbos, B'yad Mutter, if you take it off with your hands, that's going to be permitted. However, but if you do it with a scissor or a fingernail or a nail clip or whatever it is, then you're going to be liable for chiv of chatz. On that, the Gemara says this discrepancy is interesting. Is there such a thing that if you did it with a vessel, the way it's normally done, that you're going to be liable for chiv chatz? But if you do it by hand, it's going to be mutter even liketchila. Since if you would do it with a kli, you're going to be liable for chiv chatz. This is the raisa. So then, if you do it by hand, it should at least go one step lower. That it should at least have a chiv deraisa, a shvus, that you should say gezeru. We're not allowed to do it by hand because you might come to do it with a kli, which is a deraisa. So how can we say there it's mutter liketchila? And that the Gemara says you're right. Hochi come. This is what we meant to say. Pirshu Ruban, if the majority of it was already off, then biyad muta, then if you do it by hand, that it's permitted. And bekli, patr aval asa, there you're exempt that you're not doing this, the raisa, but it's asa, that's the isad rabban. Loi pirshu Ruban, but if the majority was not off, and that is what we said, that biyad patr aval asa, there by hand, it will be asam rabban, you'll be exempt from this, the raisa, but it's asa. However, bekli, chiv chatas, regarding when you do it with a utensil, with a nail clip or a scissor, then you're going to be liable for chiv chatas. So if we don't have this discrepancy, this that we say chiv chatas is only if you do it when the majority is not off, and this that we say that when you do it by hand, it's even mutter l'ketchila, that's when the majority of it is already off. So the Gemara says, la halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha, k'rib Shem Elazar, halacha is like we just said from Shem Elazar, regarding this halacha of the fingernails, that if the majority is already off and you do it by hand, then that's not the iser of geizer, and that's mutter, even like a tchila, not even the iser jabban. So now the Gemara gives a hagdar, a qualification for this heter, that for taking off the fingernail on Shabbos, Amar Rabbi Bechana Rabbi Yechanan, this that we said that you're allowed to take it off, with your hand is almost off and it's bothering you, you take it off, that's only v'hu shepirshu klap b'mala, that's only if it was already almost totally off from the top part of the fingernail, that is, it was towards the fingertip. That there it's where it started coming off, where there it bothers a person very much. As the Gemara says, the Mitzara says, it's bothering him, it's stuck over there, and it's like just bothering. If you take it off of my hand, then because of the combination of the majority of it being off, and it's causing him tzar, so therefore for this Issadra Bonnet, that pastor might be there, but Mokum Tzar, they weren't geyser, there's where we said that you're allowed to take it off, and that's where it's going to be mutl, even like a tchila, on Shabbos if it's done by hand.